Technorama episode 308 for May 11th, 2011. Held together by rotten rubber bands and duct tape, and we're all out of duct tape.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
They blew up a dike to save a town from flooding. Where did all the water go?
Over there, in the media corner.
That explains the mess.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm fantastic.
Fantastic. How many fans did that take?
Well, about two or three, because I'm hot.
Oh, is the weather getting warm down there, Quaggy Waggy?
Yeah. It's already starting to annoy me. How about you? Is it snowing there yet?
No, snow's gone. Flowers are opening. It's a good old time. We got a lot of yard work done this weekend.
Yard work? What's that?
That's where you replace all the dead plants from last year.
Oh, I thought you meant like measuring stuff.
No. That would be meter work. No, whatever.
Yards. That's yards. Dork.
At the third exit, take the third exit at the roundabout in 200 yards. Meters. What are we measuring in today? Anyway, let's get on with the show because we got a lot of great stuff coming up in this episode of Technorama. We have All Computers Don't Speak Binary, some killer tunes, and Tweet It from the Highest Mountain. All that and more coming up right after this.
This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
This is the iPhone, probably the most anticipated product of the year. It takes every feature you can imagine and puts it into one simple, stylish iPhone. For instance, if you want the internet, you press here. Wait, you want mail, push here. No, this should be music. Why don't I hear anything? Okay, wait, try pushing the... Wait.
Some people handle new technology really well. For the rest of us, there's the typical Mac user podcast.
I'm getting a call. Answer the phone. Oh, now I get music.
The typical Mac user podcast.
Hello?
Making sense out of all the stuff that should make sense.
Hello?
Subscribe today at typicalmacuser.com.
Do you have fun like that with your phone?
All the time. Actually, my boss is starting to not be so happy with his Android phone.
Uh-oh.
But it's like, you know, I don't want to diss Clint, but sometimes he's like, he has an issue, then he's like wanting to throw the phone away. And I look at it, and I'm like, oh, well, here you go. So he's like, ugh. So he's a little bit of frustration. But
I can appreciate that. You know, things don't always work the way you expect them to.
Well, it's like, you know, Thomas, you know, Mr. Command Line Gideon.
Yeah.
He coined that term. I don't know if he coined it exactly, but the first time I heard it, it made so much sense, and that was the geek fatigue. You know, there's times when I want to use Linux or something like that, but then something gets squirrely, and I have to spend time straightening it out, which I could, but then you're like, I really don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's why I pay other people to do it for me these days.
Well, you know, I mean, even Windows, Mac, it's like, I got to dig into the terminal. I don't know. You know.
Well, I use the terminal all the time. It's my best friend.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But I'm just saying, you know, there's times you go, I think about all the commands I might have to type and the whole path I'm going to jump through, and I'm like, why? But, you know, that's just one of those things. It happens to me sometimes.
Yep, yep. It's a great learning experience, but that's about it.
I know, geek fatigue. I love that. I ought to get that on a shirt somehow.
In camouflage. That would be your geek fatigues.
Yeah. Hey, do you suffer from geek fatigue?
Try Tylenol.
Yeah, Tylenol, yeah.
All right, we have a live chat room going here every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern time. We'd love to see you there looking at the chat room and taking roll call. We have Step K, not very original, Tomasinator, AD Zombiecalypse, Ben Vaughn, Close Encounters of the... Uh-oh, my window needs to get a little larger here.
Of the Tim Kind.
Close Encounters of the Tim Kind, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I see where they're going here.
Yeah. Deb Drupp. Invasion of the Body Snatch... Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Gru. Grum 2008. Mad Marvin, Marvnarok. Samurai. Susie LHC Black Hole. And Victor C.
Oh, check out my name now.
What's the theme, Craig?
It was like a sci-fi horror slash stuff.
No.
No?
No. Oh. Mr. Clown from Outer Space.
You ever see that movie?
It's your favorite apocalypse.
Oh. Is it Clowns from Outer Space? I'm trying to remember. From Outer...
I don't know that one.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, yeah, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Excuse me. That's what it is. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, that was just a creepy movie.
All right, join our live chat room and our live webcam on Sunday night. We love to see you there. We also have... birthday calendar that we turn to every week, and coming up this week is someone I don't believe, but hey, you know, it made for good fun to grab this. May 12th reportedly is Amanda Huggenkiss, which I got this.
Yeah, just a second, check. Amanda Huggenkiss. Hey, I'm looking for Amanda Huggenkiss. Why can't I find Amanda Huggenkiss?
Maybe your standards are too high.
Barney.
Your standards are too high.
And on the 14th, we have JPCJ. You know, I saw that on the calendar. I just couldn't resist.
I thought that was like, you know, JPL, or it's like an offshoot of NASA somewhere. I work at the JPCL.
Jet
J.
Propulsion Capsule. Yeah, work on that. If it's fictitious or not, and it happens to be your birthday this week, we wish you all the best. If you want to get on the birthday calendar, hopefully do a little better than the Amanda Huggenkiss. Don't be putting stuff on there. It's funny once. That's one of those
things. Is there
things.
An IP freely here?
Then join us. Go to the chuckchat.com/wiki, and we'd love to see you there.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah?
How about a Chuck Tomasi? Is there a Chuck Tomasi in here?
No!
Why, you little, if I ever catch you.
On this day in history for May 11, 2011, it was on this date in 1502 that Christopher Columbus leaves for his fourth and final voyage to the West Indies.
And the launch of the HMS Beagle, the ship that took Charles Darwin on a scientific voyage, took place today in 1820.
87 years ago, Mercedes-Benz is formed by Gottlieb Daimler and Carl Benz, merging their two companies.
And it was just 24 years ago, in Baltimore, Maryland, that the first heart-lung transplant takes place. The surgery was performed by Dr. Bruce Wrights of the Stanford University School of Medicine.
In New York City in 1995, more than 170 countries decided to extend the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty indefinitely and without conditions.
And the 1996 Everest disaster happened. 8 people died during the summit attempts in one single day on Mount Everest.
Ooh, bad day.
No kidding.
And exactly 1 year later in 1997, IBM Deep Blue, a chess-playing supercomputer, defeats Garry Kasparov in the last game of the rematch, becoming the first computer to beat a world champion chess player in a classic match format.
Sweet.
Happy birthday goes on this day today to American astronomer Frank Schlesinger, born today in 1871.
Also born today in 1875, American aviator Eric Quimby.
May 11, 1914 is also the birthday of French volcanologist Haroun Tazif.
Volcanologist?
He studies Spock and his family.
Yeah, he's in the Vulcan Islands. No, I'm sorry. Anyway, English radio astronomer and Nobel laureate Anthony Hewish turns 87 today.
Famous Dutch computer scientist Edgar Dijkstra was born today in 1930.
And finally, birthday, and our final birthday, goes out to Dr. Robert Jarvik, the American physician and inventor of the Jarvik artificial heart. Oh, that's right. He turns 1865 today.
What?
He turns 65 today.
This also happens to be National Technology Day in India in memory of five nuclear tests that took place on May 11th and May 13th, 1998. Various awards are given on May 11th to celebrate individuals in the areas of science and technology.
And ironically, Godzilla was born to that same day.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for May 11th, 2011.
And the good news keeps on coming.
Well, I say we are there now. Now.
It just keeps on coming. There's no stopping it. All right. First article up I found in the Wall Street Journal this week. Yes, we do read some intelligence information once in a while, and it just provides us with a bounty of information. This landed on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, no less. E.T. phones Thailand and picks
up the
tab for the call.
Dead tree news?
That's right. Listen.
Wow. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Came free with some of my airline points, and they won't change it to an electronic subscription. So there.
Oh,
I'll take what I get.
Sucks. Be cheaper for them.
Hey, it's great when you want to paint a room, though. You can't do that with an iPad. You have to masking tape something to the wall, right?
You could use an iPad, you know, for the corners. You stick a thing up there and then, you know.
This from Khao Kala, Thailand. Everybody from fund managers to jet-setting diplomats is talking about the world's center of gravity shifting to Asia. Now, extraterrestrials appear to be taking notice, too. Trackers in Colorado at Mutual UFO Network, one of the oldest unidentified flying object research organizations in this world, say that since the slump of the Western banking system in 2008, UFO sightings among Asia's fastest-growing economies have accelerated. Suspicious UFOs have shut down airports in China, buzzed resorts in Borneo, and lit up the night sky in Myanmar. All of that is dealing a fresh blow to the prestige of the U.S., which, as the DreamWorks animated movie Monsters vs. Aliens observed, is the only countries aliens ever seem to visit. It's not surprising, really, says Debanam Mangaman, a 75-year-old Harvard-educated physician and one of Thailand's leading UFO investigators. Aliens have been coming to Asia for decades, but now they sense a change. This is real reporting here, folks.
Yeah, wow.
This is where the progressive countries are, so they are coming here much more often now. It sounds like a vacation resort commercial.
Yeah, well, you know, the gas is a little cheaper. You know, hotels are a better deal.
The food is cheap.
That's what... They got a good deal of Travelocity or Priceline.
Extraterrestrials first hit the public imagination in a big way in Thailand back in 2006 when villagers in a rural northeast found discarded fever cooling gel packs and mistook them for visitors from outer space.
Wait, seriously? Dean Haglund has something to do with this?
That's right. He's in charge of all the aliens. It came from an X-Files script.
The cooling packs? Gel packs?
Came from an X-Files script. One woman told local newspapers she cooked a gel pack and served it to her children in the hope that it would make them more intelligent. Aren't those things poisonous, toxic stuff?
I would think so.
Okay, here's my favorite where it comes up. I won't read the entire article. In Nakhon Sawan province, 160 miles north of Bangkok, scores of UFO enthusiasts now regularly camp out on a hill known as Khao Kala, which they regard as kind of a stargate to another dimension. Unfortunately, they forgot to dial the ninth chevron. It's a diverse group, including medical students, interior decorators, and a soap opera actor who goes by the name Pete.
Pete? Okay.
From Thailand.
Hey, well, I mean, it's like calling one of those, the help desk, and hello, my name is Jack.
This is Peggy. Right.
Peggy.
On a recent evening, devotees wearing necklaces depicting alien portraits trooped to the top of the hill to harness extraterrestrial energy to treat illnesses by laying on hands or to meditate before the statue of Buddha. Periodically, people jumped up with video cameras when planes or other, this is a quote, less obvious light sources. Now, is it me or does that spell LOLs?
Yeah, less obvious light source. Yeah. There's a hidden message in this article.
Appeared before settling in for a night of chanting.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Mr. Seth Shostak, we saw him at Dragon Con a little while back. Okay.
Yeah.
Seth Shostak, senior astronomer at SETI Institute in California, uses radio telescopes and other advanced equipment to scour the universe for signs of intelligent life. Well, I want to talk to him now that SETI is being shut down. He reckons the growth of Asia economies is one of the primary factors contributing to more and more UFO sightings. I ascribe this simply to two things, Mr. Shostak says. The greater reach of TV, which means more people have seen television specials dealing with UFOs, and the widespread availability of the internet, which allows people who would formerly describe strange sightings to their neighbors to now send me an email. The aliens that allegedly visit Southeast Asia tend to have a rather different view on the universe. This is interesting because they don't look like the Greys.
Oh, they have views now. Were they Democrat and Republican?
Right. Following Buddhist precepts such as reincarnation and greeting one another by cupping their hands together in the shape of a lotus flower. Mm-hmm. After years of trying, Dr. Debanam says the finally made contact with a bona fide alien one morning at 2 a.m. in 1996. Surprisingly, he recalls, they called him on the phone using an ordinary landline.
Okay.
They now said he's lost me. Yeah, this is losing credibility. They said they were from Mars and spoke a strange version of Thai.
You know what? No. This sounds like a desperate attempt to keep SETI afloat.
They also said not to worry about the phone bill. They must have been using Skype.
Yeah. Whoa. This is totally a VoIP call. Don't worry. There's no charges. Leave a message on my Google Voice account.
There you have it. Award-winning, award-nominated podcast for Fact Behind the Fiction.
And this is published in the Wall Street Journal?
Wall Street Journal this last week. Yeah. I think it was Thursday or Friday.
Wait a minute. Now, let me get this right. The Wall Street Journal they have a paywall, so you have to you subscribe to their stuff, right? And this is what is behind the wall?
This is what's behind the curtain.
Yeah, apparently. Okay.
Moving from the sublime to the surreal, scientists have built the world's first schizophrenic computer.
No. I've had plenty of computers that had split personalities.
Oh, you mean like
work with me and then they turn around and work against me 5 minutes later.
Oh, I thought you meant like Grub where you could have multiple boot partitions or something.
That's another issue. That's self-induced.
Your Windows, you know, your
multiple
Linux.
Personalities. Do what?
Your Windows, your Linux.
Yeah. No, that's self-induced. I'm talking about the ones that, you know, 1 minute they're working with me, and the next minute they're working against me.
I knew that
file was there. It's not there.
The acronyms in here. In an obvious attempt to hasten the destruction of mankind, a team of scientists at the University of Texas in Austin built a neural network and promptly induced in a system a state of digital schizophrenia. The DISCERN neural network, DISCERN. Is it me, or is that like the opposite of CERN over in Switzerland?
That's what I was going to say.
That's what I'm thinking.
This is not where the internet was born.
That's right. The DISCERN neural network was created in part to test a hypothesis that schizophrenic symptoms are a byproduct of the sufferer's inability to efficiently ignore stimuli. They can't forget information as easily as the average person. The team mimicked this effect. You're having an effect on me.
Yeah.
By programming DISCERN to learn natural language. Storing information based on the relationship of the words and sentences, as the team increased the system's rate of learning, DISCERN could not properly parse the data. Wow, it sounds like...
Hey, It couldn't discern it.
He had a FIFO problem there. Discern eventually started putting itself at the center of delusional stories, even going so far as to claim responsibility for terrorist bombing.
Hey, by the way, NCAF in the chat room made a good point. CERN is where the web was born. Discern is where it will end.
With the Large Hadron Collider black hole that Susie was hinting at before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're just full of things today. And if that wasn't good enough.
You're full of it, all right.
This actually qualifies as somewhat news.
Really?
The making of a chimpanzee dictionary. Yes. Do you remember Washo?
Washo? No, I remember.
Washo was the chimp that they taught to sign language.
No, what was the... There was another famous gorilla they taught to sign, and... what was that? What was that monkey's name?
I don't know. Gorillas aren't monkeys, but anyway.
Coco, was it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, I remember Washo. Washo lived to a ripe old age, too. Hmm. Researchers recently discovered that chimps have over twice the number of sign language-like gestures than previously thought. Through painstaking effort, the researchers learned to decode what gestures meant. I like your face versus I'm going to claw off your face.
Or hey, this is just like CERN, discern.
Right. I want to know what sign language means. Watch out, I'm flinging poo. The first step to compiling a comprehensive database of ape language is full immersion, the same way you would study any other language. Past researchers, it seems, would miss out on a lot of important gestures. They have to stay behind during chimp raiding parties, when groups of males went off to patrol the border of their territory or encroach on the group nearby. They also get kicked out of the chimpanzee alone time, when males and females courted. There have been some important gestures going on then. I can just imagine as they're going off to raid the other camp, you kind of get that, you know, thing where they point at their eyes and then they point over there like, I'm watching you.
Like the two like the guys, clone troopers?
Yeah.
Hey, like the clone troopers making the hand gestures like, go, go, go.
Right. Two guys to the left. You two to the right.
Hey, only if Charlton Heston knew some of these. He might have turned out a little better.
This is just, it was a good news story. What can I tell you this week?
Hey, I was, you know, I wish I had the internet at the time, because when I first read about Coco, I remember I was kind of fascinated with that you know, a species would communicate much like we do, you know, humans.
Yeah.
Where they could say, I want a banana, you know, and tell them. So, but I thought that was really cool. And have you seen the trailer for the Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No.
Rise of the Apes. Well, there's a scene where James Franco, he's working on this brain stuff, you know, to make people smarter and, I guess, regenerate your brain if there's been damage.
Okay.
Anyway, so part of the problem was that the apes were getting too smart when he was experimenting on them. And one of them stuck his hand out like, I want something, you know, just palm out.
Yep.
And he put it in there. And it went in, and then it came out. And then the fingers kind of gestured like, come on more, you know. And it was just kind of eerie. I was like, oh, this is cool. So
neat.
That's kind of remind me of Coco, you know, we're going, come on, I want more.
All right. Speaking of flinging poo. Hacks and strange stories. That has nothing to do with Lenny. It has to do all about the next story. How do astronauts go to the bathroom in space?
What?
Never thought about this, did you? No, this is...
Wait a minute.
What?
You think you skipped something.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll come back to that one. That's a quick one anyway.
Actually, it could be related.
These two tied together better. I'll get that next story in a sec.
Okay.
All right, from Gizmodo again, we have... the title caught my eye. Watch how astronauts use the toilet in space. It's not actually, you know, any business
Wait
going
a minute.
On.
Again, where are you at?
I'm on the Hacks of Strange Stories.
Shopping cart lounger.
I said I'd skip that and come back to that.
Oh.
What part about come back did you not understand?
Sorry, we're what we have here is a lack of communication.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll change the bullets on the show notes later.
Yeah. No, don't let it out.
From Gizmodo, watch how astronauts use the toilet in space. title caught my eye.
Hey, the trick is they don't. They use this toilet.
Yeah, well, yeah, they do.
They don't use the toilet in space. They use the toilet while traveling in space.
Well, the real trick to the toilet is there's a vacuum pressure. Okay.
You know what? Wait a minute. I'm intimidated by that little hose coming off to the side there.
Right, yeah? That looks a little too exciting. Which one? The one in the middle or the one in the lower right?
The one that looks like it's conveniently going in the center, you know, no.
Yeah, it has to, you know, take the stuff away. The tricky part is the seat, because normally on, you know, an earthbound commode, the hole is rather large, so your target doesn't have to be that accurate. Well, it does in space. If you miss, you could have, it gives a whole new meaning to floaters, if you get my meaning. But it's
no,
a,
you didn't.
There is a training toilet that they can practice on. And then when you're in space, toilet. The only difference is there's no gravity, so you use these little, they look like handles in the picture, but they're actually, they swing around and clamp your legs to keep you from floating away. Well, you know, because for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't want to be, you know, propelling in one direction and flying in another.
Do they put this on the parabolic plane, you know, the one that does the zero-G simulation?
I wouldn't want to practice on that thing. No. No, this is a ground-based thing.
That's what I'm saying. No. Oh, okay. That's what I was saying. Do they use that on the plane that simulates...
The Vomit Comet? No.
Yeah.
Although that would be a good experiment if it were a Vomit Comet. Where does the vomit go?
Well, if you have to vomit in space, do you also use this toilet? You put your face down there?
Oh. Not after somebody's been sitting. I bet there's six sacks on the space shuttle.
Six sacks.
All right. Now, the story we covertly jumped over. Yeah, about as covert as a group of...
Speaking of sitting.
Thank you. We get to the shopping cart lounger.
Sweet.
From designboom.com, Mike Boucher took a shopping cart, the traditional, you know, shopping cart or trolley, as some people call them in the UK, and carved it up and made what looks more like a bread cooling rack for your body to rest on. That's all I can describe it as. The wheels are still there. The handles are reclined a little bit and the cart goes up, like the child's seat becomes more of a headrest. So I think I would throw some pillows or cushions on this baby, but...
Well, you know what I was thinking? What if you were to roll this out on the beach, lay in it, and kind of, you know, to get some sun? And be like, you would be like,
You know, like I was thinking about that. If you could make it somewhat convertible, you could not only be a bag lady, but you could just park your butt anywhere you wanted
sleep
to.
In it. Well, yeah, if you take this out of the beach and lay in it to get some sun, it would be like a grill.
Now, you could probably convert this into a grill, light a fire underneath it.
Yeah, right.
Cook your lunch.
Cook your lunch. About like, let's put our lunch on the inside of the hood of the car, kind of heat it up as we go.
I just think it would be cool to have.
I think I've seen this. What was it on Makezine, one of their videos? I want to say the guy shaved a couple of pieces in and bent it down, and next thing you know, he had a chair.
This took a little more modification than just unfolding the, you know, taking off the sides and unfolding it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's doable.
Although, yeah, it was just doable, but I'm not doing it.
All right, when you think of Goodyear, what do you think of?
Tires.
And?
Blimps.
The blimp, right. Well, after 100 years, we just jumped in to remember when, if you're not following along with the program at home. After 100 years, Goodyear is getting rid of the blimps and going with Zeppelins.
Oh, what's the difference?
A Zeppelin has a rigid airframe. A blimp is basically inflatable. Oh. Hmm. Good. After building blimps for almost 100 years, Goodyear is teaming up with the Germans. I thought that was a company name at first. And canning their three blips. I think that's supposed to be blimps, for a fleet of Teutonic Zeppelins set to go into operation in 2013. The Zeppelins will be longer, fly faster, and hold more people.
Robert Plant, unavailable for comment.
And wasn't one of them dead, too? John Bonham?
going to California with a girl on my mind.
Yeah. The Zeppelins will be longer, fly faster, none of which will help make it anything but a more novel way of providing stadium shot before football and baseball telecasts to go commercial. There's something a little bothersome about switching over control to our painfully slow sky-based technology to a company named ZLT Zeppelin Luftschnick.
You know, just the other night,
I can't pronounce German.
We were sitting on our porch eating dinner because it was, you know, it was nice out, and I heard, and we looked out beyond our, you know, the roof line, and there was the MetLife blimp, which is kind of neat to see.
Oh yeah, MetLife does a lot of golf outings.
And you know what? That would make sense. Oh man, that's why it was here.
Snoopy one, Snoopy
two. Because in Charlotte, they were having the Wells Fargo tournament this weekend.
I watched part of that. Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? One of my friends, she was out there shooting some photography with, like, she was rubbing elbows with some Sports Illustrated photographers and stuff. It was pretty cool. I gotta talk to her about that.
All right, coming up after the what are we doing? Media Corner segment. Wow. We are really crazy agenda. Coming up.
Like a well-oiled clock.
Made out of wooden parts.
Yeah.
It's a water clock. Oil and water don't mix.
No. Yeah.
We've got rather interesting remix of an old favorite movie theme. Some real estate for you to buy. And more.
What's a podcast? Sprechen to me. And that's VNC 101 and equals to something. Well, you know, like we've mentioned. So I don't know. Wait a minute. If I lost my train of thought.
Crap.
We've been partying the night before, and I'm seeing candy drops coming out of the sky. And I blame the listener.
Technorama. You know what you can do with it.
Just download it.
Geek Thoughts.
What would happen if you put a weightlifting set that tweets on a bathroom scale that tweets?
Hi, this is T. Morris of Billabob Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword and Podcasting for Dummies, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. Magic missile, magic missile, magic missile.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
In the Media Corner, first up we have, it was quite a week for music, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that. We have got a couple more in the Geek Library, but we're going to start with this one. Craig, you looked at the show notes, you already know the answer. But I tried this in the chat room before the show started. Nobody guessed it. This is... I love the old scratchy 45 sound. We're going to give the listener just a couple of seconds to see if they can figure out what old sci-fi movie this came from. Because it starts out sounding like Fame.
A little bit, yeah.
Wait.
Xanadu.
No.
You spin me right round, baby.
It almost...
Yeah.
For a minute there, it sounded like the music behind T. Morris.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of Hooked on Classics. Remember those things?
Oh, it was a classic. Logan's Run?
No. This is the original opening theme for Blade Runner.
It's the theme from... It's a disco version from 1979 of Alien.
Click on plastic.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make you suffer through the whole thing.
Actually, you know what it does sound like? It sounds like one of those rip-off themes of Star Trek.
It does. Somebody guessed that in the chat room earlier. It was Star Trek. Nope, yeah. Not Star Trek.
Incaf said something that made me think. You know, I was joking about the Hooked on Classics and where they did the you know, kicked up pop versions of the old, you know, classic tunes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and my dad, he always thought it was Hooked on Plastics. And he was like, what? That makes no sense.
Hooked on Plastics?
And I remember my mom said, no, it's Hooked on Classics. And then, of course, oh, you know.
Oh, that would explain the stork with the pickles, too. I thought those were plastic pickles.
Those are Vlasics. Come on. Hooked on Vlasics. But Incast said Hooked on Plastic, and I kept thinking of that. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Actually, C4. Remember
they had that Star Wars one? The same people that did the Hooked on Classics, they did like Star Wars, and I don't know about Star Trek, but things like that. There were some really cool ones in there.
Oh, dear. If you have a spare $2.4 million or so...
I do.
Okay, yeah, I know we all do. Well, then you can buy the house featured in Home Alone. It's got like 14 bedrooms. It's a ridiculously large home in the Chicago area.
Complete with iced over front steps and hot doorknobs.
And paint can hanging in the stairway. Bam!
You know what? This house, well, I was going to say you could almost turn this into a museum, much like the you know, Christmas Story one.
Well, the people want to sell it. They want to.
You know, that's a choice piece of property, though. I mean, you just look in the movie and watch it, and you're like,
oh, yeah.
Wow, that's a nice neighborhood.
But they're only taking serious bidders through the house. Otherwise, it's going to turn into, like you said, a tourism trap, which I mm-hmm. think, you know, if they charge $10 a head, hey, why not? Make it lower the price, or Coldwell Banker can make a few bucks off of it.
I wonder if the hole in the floor is still there.
Burn marks.
Yeah, burn marks.
Speaking of burn marks, I didn't do that on purpose, but makes for a better segue than what I had in mind originally. You remember the Spider 3 super laser we did about a year ago? The one that was so bright it looked like a lightsaber? The blue laser. They've come out with the double-ended Sith lightsaber now. Wicked Lasers, the company best known for their selling laser that accidentally... You know, took out some eyes.
Yeah, oopsie.
Well, they now have the $600 double-ended 1-watt lightsaber, you know, like Darth Maul had.
Oh, no. Did they really?
Yeah.
Now Lucas will sue him again.
Of course, they're using lightsaber.
Yeah.
But this is a cool-looking stick. Let me get the image up there on the screen. They've really done a nice job with the handle work.
And this is from the same people who made from Wicked Lasers, right?
Wicked Lasers, yep. They made the Spider 3 last year. In fact, it was about a year ago, 11 months ago. I've been listening to some of our old shows.
I'm looking at it. That's dangerous. You know, you're sending that around and you know, you cut your neighbors in half.
You spin me right round. Weren't you just singing that a little while ago?
You spin me right round, baby, right round. Like a... Brown record.
Stop.
Okay.
I think we banned singing from this show a long time ago. For good reason.
I'm just getting started. I got this nice fat tire beer. I'm good to go.
It's the drinking again.
Amber ale.
Someone stop him.
Forbidden beer.
Well, nothing is forbidden on this show, apparently, because remember we were talking about the Twitter scale and the Twitter weights? Well... Apparently, you can Twitter from just about anywhere. No place is sacred, including the peak of Mount Everest. Yes, if you have a satellite phone and the right connectivity, you can Twitter from anywhere.
What?
Climbing Mount Everest is one of the most dangerous, physically challenging things humans could do. Didn't you listen to On This Day in Tech History? Eight people died in one day.
Because they were probably trying to tweet themselves.
Right. It's like tweeting and driving. Don't tweet and climb Mount Everest. Doesn't work.
Hey, I would like to check in on Foursquare from Mount Everest.
So when you're... Yeah. I'm the mayor of Mount Everest.
I bet if you could get there and do that, I bet you could be.
Well, you got to go there like every other day or twice in 2 days.
You have like satellite internet service. Don't tell me they have internet cable, you know, going up the mountain.
I would go up there for peace and solitude, not to Twitter. But English mountaineer...
I'm trying to get away from you people.
Right. English mountaineer Kenton Cool, no, really, that's his name, made the world's first tweet and video call from the top of Mount Everest yesterday. This was dated last week sometime. He used a Samsung Galaxy S2 to tweet at Samsung UK, which is using the event to do some pretty smart marketing. It was Cool's ninth time summiting the mountain, kind of impressive considering Everest claims a life for every 10 successful summits. Stop now.
Hey, by the way, Incap says pretty soon the Fonz is going to drive his motorbike up the mountain and jump the frozen shark.
That's about it. Mount Everest actually has 3G coverage. It got it back in October. Since then, climbers have been able to tweet to their heart's content from the mountain. I want to know who the poor sap is that had to put the tower up there. But until now, none of them had the onions to bother with Twitter during the final push, the last climb before the summit, where some of the most physically fit people in the world literally sit down and wait to die. Now, if only he'd thought to check on Foursquare, he'd be looking at some pretty lengthy time. Yeah, that's what we said. Check in Foursquare, be the mayor.
See, I'm right on time.
We're way ahead of him. Way ahead of him.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Twitter, I got through this in the show notes real quick. Just a quick look at this. I'm going to put this right there. Go look at these Marvel whales. This was on off a link that you had a minute ago. And I was thinking these are great changes from the regular Twitter fail whale.
Oh, no.
There's the ghost diver. There's the Marwell. Marwell,
ghost diver is like ghost rider, but...
And there's the Wolverine, the Narwhalverine. There's the Hulk one.
Cetacean Torch.
And
the Amazing Spider Minky.
Thorka.
Thorka. The Fantastic Four.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
It's like nice. What's that Penguins show that's an offshoot of Madagascar? There's a cartoon that Julie and I watch every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
They see a hot air balloon or one of those parade balloons go by of an orca, and they start calling it a sky orca or skorka. Most people call it a skorka.
That's funny.
Thorka.
Oh, boy.
Very nice. Hey, that almost belongs in the Geek Library.
Yeah, I'll stick it in there.
Okay. Also in the Geek Library, we have a pretty little chart that shows the cost of keeping SETI going. It's a very long and dense image. You might want to click on the link and blow that baby up.
And by the way, speaking of money themes, I'm sure SETI's singing the song, Money, 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 Money.
Well, SETI got shut down
recently.
And as a result, you know, we would say, well, how much does it actually cost? So somebody put together this lovely little graphic. And it costs roughly $50 million. I don't know if that's a year or just for good and forever.
Good Lord.
And it fits in right between, let's see. You can do a Trident submarine launch, a Trident submarine launch nuclear ICBM for $29.1 million, which is slightly less than running SETI, or you can get the Andy Warhol painting, 8 Elvises, for $100 million. So, you know, what do you want, an Andy Warhol or 2 SETIs?
Well, wait a minute. I got a question. Okay, I understand there's priorities and we got to spend our money where it's more wisely used, but where does this money go? I mean, we're talking like just staffing, electricity, all this stuff?
Yes.
I guess a lot of stuff.
Facilities, computer upkeep.
Because when I watched, when I watched Contact, there was only like a couple of people
sitting in a closet.
When they got the message, the guy was hitting golf balls or something and woke up the superior. It's like, oh no, that was Independence Day.
Craig's got his movies mixed up again.
Still, there was only a couple of people on staff, you know. I mean, that's a lot of money. I just wondered where kind of break down where it goes.
One final video, speaking of breaking down, one final video for the Geek Library. It is very funny from Geeks Are Sexy. They had this video about voice recognition in an elevator. These two Scottish gentlemen get in the elevator, and he says, where are the buttons? He says, it's been retrofitted with voice recognition. And the elevator says in a very clear American accent, please indicate where you'd like to go. And the guy says, 11. And he says, I don't think it understands Scottish accents. And he says, He says, try saying it more American. It's like, how do you say 11
more? Try saying it more American.
11. And they're shouting at this thing, and it's not going anywhere. They finally get all torqued off and start swearing at it. At one point, one guy's on top of the other guy's shoulders to speak clearer into the speaker at the top of the... Says, if you'd like to get out of the elevator, say, open the doors, please. And he says, I'm not going to beg to get out of the elevator. I'm not using please. And it just, it's really, really funny. It gives you kind of a what's the word I'm looking for?
That's funny.
The way to, come on, mental blank. It's getting late. What's somebody that is opposed to technology?
Are you talking like a...
Luddite. Kind of a Luddite's approach to voice recognition.
I was thinking like noob.
No. It's very, very funny. 3 minutes, you won't regret
it. Technophobe, that's another one, yeah.
Yep, that'll work. And also, I mentioned that we had a couple of songs. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I just wanted to rip through these. We are getting a little late in the show. One of my favorites, the parody of Like a G6. This is... version of Roll a D6.
I've seen this floating around. I haven't heard it yet.
Oh my gosh, this has been terrific all week.
I'm a wizard. When we play, we do it right. Candle slicker, fighting dragons in my mind. In my mind, just for kicks. DM says you're gonna die. Roll a D6. Roll a D6. Roll a D6.
What's the pair like a G6? What's that?
Oh yeah.
What's the G6 one?
You haven't been listening to radio lately, have you?
What's that?
There's a song that sounds just like this, only it's like a G6.
Wait a minute, they still got radio?
Players love my style. Listen. My table getting wild. Got these schemes applied. Got my map and my cloak. Got these players' heads a popping. Someone get me more coke. Hell yeah!
I'll be hacking them all up when the goblins all around me. I'll be hacking them all up. Chex got his hat turned around sideways and
all right, that was one of my favorites.
Okay. No, I haven't heard the original. I don't know, like a G6. What is G6?
Craig, he's so out of touch.
If you didn't have teenage girls, you wouldn't know either.
You're darn right. That's just a funny song. There's also a acapella interpretation of Battlestar Galactica's version of All Along the Watchtower.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is really good. I won't play the whole thing again, but it gives you an idea. Go to the show notes. I should just send out the show like this. Yeah, maybe we should. There must be some way out of here. We'll get to the end of the show this way. Hey, that takes care of Technorama for this week. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, Ctomasi Step K, or follow Technorama. I have been creatively sharing a lot of things during the week. The song just gets better as you go. The more you listen to it, the more you like it.
That's not bad. Can you download an MP3 version?
I don't know. I snagged it off of the video.
What? I thought you were in touch with everything.
I snagged it off the video.
Oh.
There's also a donation to the chip jar. Thank you, everybody who currently donates to the tip jar. Really appreciate that. Special thanks to Mad Mar for providing the great blog content during the week. Watch for more of those TV and movie reviews. Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday nights and keeps the recordings going. We appreciate that. We are looking at ways to improve our video stream. And our chat room is provided by ThinStack.net. Special thanks to Steve Rickyberg and all of the people over there at ThinStack.net who help us keep that going. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at FriendsInTech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all the great podcasts over there. Check them out. I know you'll find something you enjoy. See if they can do it. You know what? I'm going to fade that one out and go right for the throat on this thing. There we go. All right. Hey, again, if you want to listen to that, there's like it's 4 minutes long. Really cool. Really, really cool. So, oh, yeah, that's what I need to send me to bed on a Sunday night, Wednesday morning, whatever it is.
Wednesday morning. We record 24 hours.
We are here for you. Did I already say the part about this show is a proud member of Friends in Tech?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, find out more at friendsintech.com. Did I say we're part of Farpoint Media?
Sure.
Okay. Find out more podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. Whole bunch of great podcasts. Take a look. We know you'll enjoy something. Hey, you know what? If you're not subscribed to this or the website, or you're not checking out the website, or you're getting an RSS feed from somewhere, why not? You're doing it the old-fashioned way. Go check it out. Until next time, do us all a favor. Tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101.
Do da do ya do 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 da do ya do do. Bye.
Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
You boys having a good